This is lesson HBS number 60, and the title of this lesson is Guidance That Can Be Trusted, Part 1. Let's talk a little bit about the guidance process. How does God do it? A lot of people that don't understand this, and it's very clear in the Word how this happens. So if we'll just read John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15, I think it'll help us. Let me just read this one. It says, Jesus is talking here, and he's talking about the fact, just to put this in context, that he's going to go away. And his disciples are having kind of a hard time with this. And Jesus is telling them, I'm going away, but if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. And so it's not bad news, it's good news. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And then he says, and then verse 13 says, howbeit, when he, and the Holy Spirit is a he, by the way, not an it. You hear people talking about it a lot. It's not. He, the Holy Spirit of truth, is come. What's he going to do? Now listen to what the Holy Spirit's going to do when he comes. Has he come? That's the first question. Yes, he has. He's on the earth now. He came at Pentecost, right? And he's been here ever since in this earth, in the hearts of believers. Now, when he comes, he's going to do some things. Now, this is what he's going to do. He's going to guide you. Not only is he going to guide you, he's going to guide you into all truth. Wouldn't you like to be led into everything that's true? No false leading, no dead ends, just everything works out perfect. That's what the Holy Spirit will do if we'll listen to him. Everything will work perfect. All right, he's going to guide us, now listen, into all truth. How's he going to do this? Well, first thing he's going to do is he's not going to speak about himself or by himself. Now that's the first thing you need to learn about the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you, and he's going to guide you, good news, into all truth. How's he going to do this? He's going to do it, first of all, by not speaking about or by himself. For he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit does not speak about himself. But whatsoever he hears, he will speak. More specifically, whatsoever he hears for you, when he's in your heart, he will speak to your heart. Now, he's not going to tell you everything. Obviously, he knows everything. But when he speaks to you, it's going to be truth. And it's going to be specifically tailored for you. When he speaks to Danielle's spirit, it's going to be information that is not going to be about the Holy Spirit. It's going to come through the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be information that's specifically pertinent to Danielle or Seth or Matt or any of the rest of us here. Now that's important. You're not going to just be getting like turning on a radio, all kinds of stuff from all over the place that doesn't apply. What you get is going to apply to you. So he's going to bring this stuff to you. He's not going to speak about himself, but whatsoever he hears. Now, how is he going to hear? Who does he hear from? It'll tell us. That shall he speak, whatever he hears, and he will show you things to come. Now, listen to what Jesus said. He shall glorify me. How is he going to do that? For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So there's the clue. Jesus, when he speaks, he's going to speak to the Holy Spirit about you, what you need to know. He's going to speak to the Holy Spirit about a lot of things. It's sort of like Santa Claus in a way, you know. I mean, you know, you get all these presents, you know, the kids believe he's leaving the North Pole, okay? We don't care about all the presents. What we care about is what comes to, for our family, okay? Well, Jesus is a disperser of all kinds of information for all kinds of people. But the Holy Spirit is individually in the heart of every believer, isn't he? And so what the Holy Spirit in each heart is going to do is pick out those pieces of information that come from Jesus that are just for you. All right? Now, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. People think, well, what about the Father? Does he just show us things from Jesus? The next verse tells you about the Father. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. this means this, that the chain that it comes through is the Father decides to send something. He sends it to He tells Jesus. Jesus sends it to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tells your spirit. All right? That's the way it happens. This is what it says here. Now, why are we spending so much time with this? So that you'll get a clear idea of how the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Because it's going to eliminate a lot of this garbage that Christians are saying, that they're getting information from out here that isn't from the Father, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to your spirit at all. It's coming directly from this world into your mind. And that's not the way God does it. But a lot of believers think that's the way God does do it, and it confuses them. They say things like this: well, God opened a door and I went right through it. Be careful. Because who is the God of this world? Satan. Who moves, opens, and shuts doors in this world a lot of times? Satan. You can't just look at circumstances that seem to line up with something you want to do and assume that's God. That's very dangerous. Now, if God said this is the way he did it, it'd be okay. But doesn't it make sense he's not doing it this way? Why is he not doing it this way? Because that isn't his kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. So he doesn't normally use things in this world to guide us and lead us. That's number one thing. That's not where his kingdom is. Where is his kingdom? That's why we had this lesson last time. In our spirits. Where is God? In the person of the Holy Spirit. In our spirits. Doesn't it make a lot of sense that if God is dwelling in our spirits, that he's going to speak to your spirit? Because that's where he is. That's the first thing that's going to pick up what God is saying. So Jesus wants us to know that when the Spirit of truth is come, and that's important, he's the Spirit of truth. As these days get darker and as things get more confusing, isn't it nice to know that there is a bottom line? There is truth and there is lies. Jesus says Satan is the father of lies. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. I'd rather have truth than lies. If you'd rather have truth than lies, then listen to your spirit, and I will talk about how you can do that. But so know this, that when he comes, he's going to guide you into all truth, but he's not going to speak of himself or by himself. It's not going to be the Holy Spirit going, I'm thinking of something on my own you need to know. He doesn't work that way. He feeds you what the Father, through Jesus, wants you to know specifically. Okay. Now, so the process of leading is from the Father through Jesus to the Holy Spirit to us. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll see a beautiful explanation of how this works that's going to make an awful lot more sense, I think, to us now that we've read John chapter 16. This is something that would behoove every Christian to really meditate upon, versus, I would say, just all of chapter 2, really. And if you want to start in chapter 1, that would be good too. There's a lot in these two chapters about being led of the Spirit. Paul's explaining why, when he preaches with such power in this chapter, which is quite interesting on its own. He said, it's not me doing it. He says, on my own, I'm full of trembling and fear. That's my flesh. But when it comes out of my mouth, it's powerful. Why? And he explains in detail how that happens, starting in verse 1 of chapter 2, but we're not going to cover all that. I'd like to start in verse 9. And I'm going to read this too, because I want you to really get it. Now, let's just allow the Holy Spirit to open these scriptures to us, because there's a lot here. Now, listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us about how he leads us here. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. What's he talking about here? Eye, ear. What are those? Those are your senses. He's saying here, as it is written, your senses are not going to reveal unto you the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, here's a funny thing. I hear Christians singing a song all the time that says, eye hath not seen, neither ear has heard, what God has prepared for those that love him. Sort of like, we don't know, it's going to be good, and he loves us, but we have no clue what it's going to be. That's not what this says at all. Go on to the next verse. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The ones he's talking about in verse 1 are unbelievers. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of natural man. Natural man is in verse 14. He clarifies the man he's talking about here. Verse 14 says, natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, and their spirits are dead. They can't. So it's not entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Those that love him are the ones in the next verse, not this verse. If you have a little pencil, mark an arrow from them that love him down to the us in verse 10. That's who it's talking about. The ones that hasn't entered into the heart of aren't those that love him. That's not the ones it's talking about. That's the ones that haven't got a clue what God's prepared for them. And that's true. They don't know. But God's prepared some really neat things for them that love him. And he's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There's the us that goes with the for them that love him. You understand what I'm saying here? Don't ever say, well, we have no eyes not seen, nor ear heard, neither's entered in the heart of us, you know, what God's prepared for us. So, you know, that's not talk about it. It says, but God has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, this Holy Spirit that's in you is getting stuff from God all the time for you. We saw that in John chapter 16. All right? For what man, verse 11, knows the things of the man except the spirit of man which is in him? All that means to say, King James English is, no one knows you like you know you. No one knows you like you. Who's you? Your spirit. No, you only thing that knows all about you is your spirit. Your spirit knows all about you. The last part of this verse says, even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God knows all about God. Your spirit knows all about you. That's all that verse is saying. Why would your spirit know all about you? Because you are your spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul that needs to be renewed and get saved eventually. And you live in a body. You need to know that. Now, your spirit man inside that's made a new creature in Christ Jesus knows everything about you. Your mind doesn't know some things your spirit knows about you. Do you know that? Your spirit knows things your mind doesn't even know. Because you've never listened to your spirit, maybe, or gotten quiet enough to hear some things your spirit would like to tell you. He says here also, no person knows everything about God except the Spirit of God does. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? You know all about you. The Holy Spirit knows all about God. Now, verse 12 is really neat. It puts it all together. Now, you got the picture? The Holy Spirit knows everything about God. Your spirit knows everything about you. Now listen to verse 12. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world. If you go back and read what the spirit of the world is, that's the spirit of disobedience that worketh in the children of disobedience, says in Ephesians 2:2. You haven't received that spirit. But the Spirit which is of God, that's what you've received. Now listen, the Holy Spirit knows all about God, your spirit knows all about you. But the good news is, you have the Spirit that knows all about God living in your spirit. Have you got that? Say it one more time. Your spirit knows all about you, God's spirit knows all about God. Good news is, verse 12, that the Spirit that knows all about God lives in your spirit. We've received him, it says here. Why? Listen. That we might know the things that are freely given or revealed, it means, to us of God. That's why he's given. Isn't that beautiful? That tells you a lot. The Holy Spirit that knows all about God has been placed in your spirit for one reason is that you might know the things that God wants you to know. The things that are freely revealed to you from God. That's kind of saying the same thing that John 16 said. When the Father wants to communicate with us, He tells Jesus, or Jesus could come on his own to the Holy Spirit, but that's the progression. Both of them can speak to the Holy Spirit, which speaks to your spirit. Now, this is only for believers. And that's the progression. Now we're learning a little bit more, that the Spirit of God knows all about God. And he's in your spirit that you might know the things that God wants you to know that are freely revealed to you from God. Which things also we speak. Now, before we got into this, Paul was talking about why he could preach with the Spirit of God's anointing and why sometimes in his flesh he can't understand. He feels fearful and everything else. But when he preaches, you say, and you people, he says, you say to me, it's powerful. And he's trying to explain to them, it's not me, it's the Spirit of God. And he's telling them now in verse 13 that the things which I speak, I don't speak in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches me, revealing or interpreting or comparing spiritual things with a spiritual receiver. That's what it means. In other words, what he means is the Holy Ghost teaches and he brings forth spiritual things that will connect with a spiritual receiver in your spirit. That's why people can sit back and say, wow, wasn't that great? What was great anointing on the Word tonight? All that is saying really is that the guy that was up front teaching or preaching or whatever had enough presence of God in his life to get with the Lord, find out what he wanted to say, and then when he preached, it connected with your spirit because that's what God wanted you to hear, and you said, boy, wasn't that powerful. And he's explaining the process here. That's what's happening right now. Because people are saying, and he's saying, on my own, I can't do this. He said, I'm an ineffective. I'm scared. He says, sometimes I get up before you. You read this whole chapter. He said, but it comes forth with power. And this is the way it works. The Holy Spirit, in my spirit, picks up from God what I'm supposed to teach to you. I bring it forth, and then your spirit connects with it and interprets what I'm saying and goes, wow, because that same spirit's in your spirit that's in the spirit of the one that's teaching. If he's connected with God. If he's not, you soon find out, don't you? Everybody's oh boy, how much longer is this going to last, you know? I mean, because it just doesn't have any power. It doesn't have any anointing. And we've all been there. And sometimes it's not, it doesn't mean the person isn't filled with the Spirit or anything. Maybe he hasn't prepared. You know, you got to do a little of that too. So you find out what God wants you to do. That's the whole key. Finding out what God wants. You know what? We could come into this room and we could have anybody or myself or anybody else teach a lesson, and if it isn't what God wants, it wouldn't go across the same degree it does when it's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to go and your spirits are picking up and saying, yes, that's what I need. It all connects. It's so beautiful when it connects. And he's telling you how this works in here. Now listen, in verse 14 he goes back, talk about this, unbelievers now. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Why are they foolishness? Because he's trying to interpret everything by the only things that he has at his disposal, and that is his sense knowledge, and his emotions, and his mind, and his senses. That's it. They don't have anything else. But we have our spirit. And so to an unbeliever, a lot of these things that we're talking about in here wouldn't make any sense. He's got to get saved first. So that his spirit's alive unto God. So the Holy Spirit's in his spirit going, yes, that's me. Yes, yes, you know. If you don't have that, it's just like so much words. That's what he's saying here. These things are spiritually discerned. They're foolishness unto him. I remember one night we had a guy in our group that wasn't saved, came to our Bible study when we were in Duluth, and I was teaching on, I still remember, the power of words. Where Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And I was saying, your words are so powerful, you could create with your words. And all the believers are soaking it up, because it was the Word of God, and they're spiritual witnessing to it. This one guy in the group wasn't a believer, and he's looking at me like this. The whole time he's gone, he didn't get it at all. And the Lord showed me this later. He said, he didn't get this. Because his spirit's not alive unto God. There was no spirit in his spirit to witness to it and say yes.
Did he think he was saved? And is that why he came? No. Or he
just came because his wife came. He was a friend of Mary Ann. She knows who I'm talking about. And
she took it
all right, but he was just, what?
Well, and he let his intellect get in his way. He didn't look real stupid like that. He just looked.
No, he did. He did. He looked at me just like. I remember looking at him.
Like,
boy. Now, yeah. But he which is spiritual, verse 15, discerneth all things. Judges means discern if you look in the margin. Yet he himself is discerned by no man. See, they're never going to understand us believers without the Holy Spirit in their spirit. They just aren't going to understand. And you see that all the time in the world today, all this stuff. I mean, they don't get it. I mean, I heard today that one of the presidential candidates on the Democratic side said the thing that caused him to believe in the sanctity of uniting two men in marriage was the teachings of Scripture.
Yeah.
The examples Jesus set. That was what he said. Is this guy out to lunch or what? Is his spirit dead unto the Lord or what? I mean, everything just goes, are you kidding me?
Who said that? Dean?
Dean. Yeah. He said he basically, in Vermont, when he okayed marriage between males, what he his Christian faith had showed him.
That'll show people right there.
I mean, right there, you can see he has no spiritual discernment. He has no idea what he's talking about. All he's really saying is, I've heard that Jesus was a very tolerant individual. He was a great teacher. And because he's tolerant, I'm assuming that he would have okayed this. That's all he's saying. All the way through. Did you ever read about Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you ever read Romans 1, where it says it's abomination to the Lord, and that they receive a reprobate mind to do these kinds of things? But I mean, it's all through Romans 1 and 2. But anyway, at least this explains why they can do this. But if you're spiritual, you can discern all things. Yet he himself is understood of no man. Now listen to verse 16. This is really neat. For who has known the mind of the Lord? That's a good question, isn't it? Who knows the mind of the Lord? That he may figure him out. That's what instructing there means in the King James. Guess who? We. We have the mind of Christ. That's the last phrase in this verse. But we have the mind of Christ. How is it that believers have the mind of Christ? It's very simple. The Holy Spirit has access to all of this. The Holy Spirit has access. He knows all about God. Remember that verse up above? The Holy Spirit knows all about God. Your spirit knows all about you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely revealed to us of God. That's how we have the mind of Christ. We have access to the mind of Christ. Anything that's in Jesus' mind that he wants you to know, you have access to. You have his mind on that situation. You have access to his will in that particular thing. Now, if you're not using it, or if you're not making it possible for him to communicate with you, that's your problem. That's our problem. We have to learn how to facilitate this. But from God's side, it's all set up. It's hardwired for a believer. You got the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in heaven. The Father's in heaven. Every single time God sees something that you need to know, Steve, he sends it through the Holy Spirit to your spirit. And whether it goes any further than that is up to us. Our spirit knows things about us that our mind doesn't know. What we've got to do is we've got to get this information in our spirit that God wants to feed us into our mind. We say, well, why doesn't God make it more obvious, evident? Well, there's a lot of things we can do. If we just follow the Word, we'd hear more clearly what God's trying to do. And we'll talk about that. That's not the lesson for tonight, but we're going to talk about that. Because God wants you to know this.
Yeah, where the Word divides between the soul and the spirit.
Yeah. Right. But see, the basic problem, Steve, is that before we got born again, especially when there's a long time that goes by when we live on this earth, kids, this is why it's easier for kids. When you've lived a long time on this earth, and you're not saved yet, guess what? You've lived by all those years. Your senses. And your mind. And it's a strong habit to break. Now, just because you have the Holy Spirit, and your spirit's a new man in Christ Jesus, doesn't mean that your mind is instantly renewed, doesn't mean that your body is automatically presented unto God as a living sacrifice. Those are things that we have to do. And if we don't do these things, we can remain in a babyhood state our whole Christian life. Are we going to heaven? Yes, you are, if you're born again. Are you going to live in the victorious Christian life God had for you? No, you're not. But you can. But see, it's a hard habit to break, that when we're used to living on this earth and having everything that we have learned up to the time we're born again has come through our five senses. We're limited to that. That's why we see Christians that act a lot like the world. Like you said earlier about this Harry Potter thing, a lot of Christians don't seem to be... Do you really think there's anything wrong with this? They have no discernment. Why? Because they've never grown. They've never got their mind renewed. Their spirit's in there knowing these things, but they don't know it simply because they're still receiving all their information from the world. They're still reacting on their five senses to everything. They're not letting that spirit man inside dominate by getting their mind renewed to the Word of God. Now, how do you get your mind renewed to the Word of God? You don't just have to read it. You have to start doing it. You have to start doing it. And as God sees you putting His Word into practice, He'll reveal more to you. And you'll it'll just open up all kinds of things from God. Okay, so... I hope that clarifies a little bit of the process of how God goes about leading us. So, we found out the process. Now, the next point is, when God wants to talk to us, He speaks to the Holy Spirit. We found that out. Who then contacts our spirit. Remember, I won't have you turn to this because we had it last time. Proverbs 20:27 says this, "The spirit of man is the candle or lamp, or you might say in modern day language, the light bulb of the Lord." That means that when God wants to communicate with you, He'll send it through the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit, your spirit, is like a light bulb to the Lord. The Lord talking about here is the Lord who sends it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lights up your spirit when He wants to communicate with you. The spirit of man is the candle or light bulb of the Lord. Now, the only point of me bringing this scripture out is I want to point out the fact is the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your spirit. That's where He's speaking to. He's not speaking to your mind. He's speaking to your spirit. That's where He is. He is a spirit. So He speaks spiritual things. And the only thing that's going to pick up anything spiritual is your spirit. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you're not going to pick up your radio with a lamp. You're gonna have to have something that's compatible with it. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit are perfectly compatible. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You try to worship God with your senses, it doesn't work. It falls flat on its face. We've all been in services where everybody tried to worship in their senses. But you worship out of your spirit, all of a sudden you begin to pick up, and it's not as easy as it sounds to get into it. We've all been in worship services that were wonderful. We've also been in worship services that just don't seem to get there. And there's a way to worship in the Spirit. We don't have time to get into that. But what we're trying to point out tonight is that the Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit. The spirit of man is the light bulb of the Lord. Now, turn to Romans 8:14. This is back one book from 1 Corinthians. Here's something we need to know. See, first we found out the process from the Father through Jesus to the Holy Spirit to us. Then God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit who contacts our spirits. Now, we're going to find out the primary way the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit is by bearing witness to your spirit. Now, look at verses Romans 8:14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," the whole topic that we're talking about here is being led by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God. That's our main subject that we're talking about these several weeks, isn't it? We want to learn how to be led by the Spirit. Well, here's some good news in verse 14. "The ones that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God." That's really just saying what we just read in 1 Corinthians 2, isn't it? That those that aren't born again aren't going to hear from God because their spirits are not alive unto God. They're dead. They need to be born again. All right? So, but the ones that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And the daughters of God, this means. Doesn't just mean sons, it means sons and daughters, you know that. Just like mankind doesn't just mean men, it means men and women.
Well, the verse before that, that where it talks about put to death the deeds of the body or the flesh.
Right.
Isn't that part of actually getting down to where we can be led by the Spirit?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, maybe you're going to, I'm sorry.
No, that's a good point. I wasn't going to read that, but that's exactly what we're talking about. He's saying if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you, through the Spirit, kill the deeds of the body, you shall live and be alive unto God. I mean, you're going to hear from God. For as many, see, he's talking about being led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. If you're not a son and daughter of God, forget it. You're not going to be led by the Spirit of God. There's all kinds of directions we could go from here. For example, I'll just get in. I'm not going to prove this tonight, but did you know that people say, well, the Holy Spirit convicted me of that? No, he didn't. The Holy Spirit does not convict you of sin. Your spirit convicts you of sin. Go back and read 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 sometime. Your spirit does. The only sin the Holy Spirit convicts of is the world of sin, Jesus said, for they believe not on me. He only convicts the world of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Your spirit convicts you of sin.
What is that? 1 John
3:21. And John 16 says that the Holy Spirit only convicts the world of sin. Now we could prove this. That's a whole subject in itself. But isn't that nice? The Holy Spirit is not there to convict the believer anymore. He's there to lead you out of sin. If you get into sin, he will be the gentle leading you out of sin. But your spirit, your spirit knows when you've sinned.
That's what we call conscience.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's the voice of your spirit. We are going to get into that in another lesson. The conscience is the voice of your own spirit. Reason is the voice of your soul or your mind. Feelings are the voice of your body. They all have voices. Trouble is, baby Christians listen to their feelings and listen to their emotions and listen to their mind, and they don't listen to their conscience. Now, men, psychologists and psychiatrists have tried to explain everything in the terms of the soulish part of man and the feelings, sensual part of man. But as they get into this, they begin to realize there's something more there, and they don't know what to call it, so they call it the subconscious. But they don't know what that is, because the psychiatrists and psychologists that are trying to explain it aren't born again, and they're never going to penetrate that. It's foolishness unto them. We read that earlier, didn't we? They can't see it. Their mind's in the way. Their spirit is not alive unto God. And so a believer sitting here that's never taken a philosophy class or a psychology class can sit here and go, har, har, how can they believe that? Because in his spirit, he knows how it works. That's interesting, isn't it, that a believer can sit here and know more about how a person is led and what influences them to be led than a person who spent 15 years studying in books that doesn't have his spirit born again, because they don't know what to call that thing down here. So they say, well, the subconscious, we don't know too much about that, but we do. That's our spirit. And that's what's being led by the Spirit of God. All right, so if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, he's going to lead the sons of God. Now look at verse 16. How does he do it? Here's how he does it. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, or we are anything, or he wants us to do whatever. He does it the same way. The same way that you know that you're born again, a child of God, is the same way, this helps a little bit, I think, that you're going to know by the inner witness when God wants you to do something else. Now, it's kind of hard to explain, isn't it? If I ask you, Danielle, how do you know you're saved? Explain it to me in clear terms, I'll understand. It's not so easy.
Kind of like when this man was very upset that I homeschooled Seth and I couldn't get into some spiritual, theological discussion saying, this is why. Because
yeah.
I know that's what God wants me to do. I mean, he wouldn't have understood that, and I knew it. And yeah, he wanted some good reasons.
He wants something that he can respond to with his senses or his mind
and tell me
or his emotions. But don't speak to me about spiritual things, because I don't understand what you're talking about. See? It's all over the place. Now, if I said to you, tell me how you know that you're born again, you would probably say, I just know that I know. And that's the best way that you can explain the inner witness. I just know that I know. That's what the inner witness really is. And that's the primary way. The way that God shows that you're born again is one of the primary ways God speaks to his sons and daughters, is by the inner witness. Just a knowing. Now, it's kind of hard to explain, but this is the most common way. And we're going to talk about this in much more detail later. I'm just kind of introducing it right now. It says here that the Holy Spirit beareth witness that something is true, something is false, something is yes, something is no. Whatever he wants you to know, he bears witness with your spirit. In other words, he tells your spirit. I'm just nailing this down in several different ways tonight, how this happens, so that you'll know. Because when we get done with this, When somebody tells you, well, the reason I knew it was God was because I was in the service and I just got goosebumps all up and down my spine, you're going to know that that isn't the primary way you know something's of God. It isn't how your body responds. Now, there might be a reaction of your body, something happening in your spirit. But it's not, if it just comes straight to your body, that would be suspect. Okay? We're trying to nail this down to the point where we understand that if it doesn't come up through my spirit, don't accept it as a leading from God.
Well, that's like going to...
Open and shut doors are another example. Go ahead.
That's like going to the men's or women's conferences that you go to. I mean, they're fun, it's a good time of fellowship, but that you get like an emotional high, and it's not, there's not always a lot of spiritual there. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
there is.
Sometimes there is, but you're right.
How much scripture they really get in there. But a lot of it is more of an emotional thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's pleasant. The flesh likes it. I mean, it's pleasant to your mind. But it's not necessarily God. And that's why we've got so many goofy things going on today. Some of this inner healing stuff. Hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings, but that appeals to the emotions. The Bible says that when we're made a new man in Christ, old things have passed away. Don't go back there. You know, you don't need to go back to when you were 6 years old and what happened to you to get it worked out. That's all dead. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and looking on to those things which are before. Forget that stuff. That isn't the problem. But it's emotional. We can cry a little bit. We can respond. We can all hang on each other and sob for each other, and everybody feels a little bit better. But that's not God. That's not the way He does it. You don't see the apostles doing that.
That's like the world.
Yeah.
To me.
It is. But, you know, we have these people that go around and do these kind of things. They respond to emotions. That's why, folks, when we get done with this, a lot of the stuff that you've heard before is just going to go, no, that's not God. I mean, you know, it's going to be so obvious. That's why sometimes, when you've studied this for a while, people say, what God did and this and that, and you go, how in the world can they tell me that with a straight face and really believe that that's God? Because He just doesn't operate that way. We have all seen things in churches from guest speakers or something that just, something they're doing that just, oh man, it just stinks to high heaven. But everybody else is going, oh my gosh, this is God. And you're going, how can they think this? There's no more God than nothing. You've been there.
Yeah. Oh, it was miserable. We were miserable.
It's amazing. This. But some people, they're born-again Christians, are soaking this stuff up like it's the greatest thing. And you're just going, how in the world can their spirits accept that?
They're not listening to their spirits.
No, they're not.
They're not. They're reacting because he sure looks good in a yellow suit.
Yeah. She's thinking about this, yeah. Right.
I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, they don't. They don't know how to listen to their own words. So they've not tried it.
So many people won't get in the word.
And do it.
They're depending on
on
the person speaking to give them the information
instead of
looking it out.
Right.
And that's when you taught a much smaller version of this and you helped it one time. That's when I got it, that, oh, this is between God and me. This isn't me going to the pastor or me going to some older Christian or
right.
I just didn't get that before. And so that's when...
That's where this whole shepherding movement got way off the beam.
Wow.
And they couldn't see it. What they were doing is holding Christians as babies. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything on your own. Come to us first. We'll tell you what to do.
Yeah.
That's never God. All the stuff we read tonight goes against that. That holds people as babies. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'll have to go to the pastor. I'll have to go to this elder or whatever and clear it with them first. That's where the enemy really gets people in trouble because, you know, this whole group will follow people like sheep right off a cliff. You know, that's why we have these crazy things like, well, I don't have to go into detail. You know what I'm talking about. We need to listen to our own spirits. God's going to guide each one of us individually. Never do something because someone else said, God told me to tell you this, and make a big change in your life. Now, if that person confirms something you already knew, okay. But I'll tell you the truth, 99 times out of 100, it won't be God. I'll just, that kind of statistics, I hate to say it, is pretty much in the body of Christ on these kind of things. Maybe, I'm not saying it can never happen, because sometimes somebody will really... God will use somebody to confirm something, especially a mighty move, a change maybe in your life. But don't ever do it if it's a surprise to you.
And don't do it if that's the only time you heard it. Even if he's right.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got to because someone else, even though, even if he's right, and he's led by the Spirit, and he's giving you this word, like a gospel thing, you know he's right, wait on a confirmation from your Spirit,
right.
too. Because if you don't...
See, the thing is, these places that have the shepherding and extreme control over the people, who's that lifting up? It's lifting up the person. See, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. See, that's why he gave us each the Holy Spirit. He loves us all the same. The Lord is not a respecter of persons in that he favors one over another. Now, that's not to say the pastor can't help or somebody. Of course, they're there for the sheep. But in these matters of individual guidance, that's not why they're there. God's going to guide you through your spirit. That's what he wants to do. We spend a lot of time...
Well, you know, there are sometimes, like when you have a crisis or something, or, you know, a big problem, and it's always good to have somebody that you can talk to that will encourage you to get your answer.
Right. It says, the Bible even says, there's safety in a multitude of counselors.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure those counselors line up with your own spirit.
Right.
If those counselors don't line up with your spirit, don't do it. Because doesn't it make sense that if God wants you to do something, who do you think he might tell first?
Yeah.
You. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
If I want to tell Mary Ann something, does it make sense for me to call Diane and say, Diane, call Mary Ann, tell her this? I mean, that's just not a very direct way of doing it.
Uh-huh.
And besides, we've all played that game in school. Have you ever played it where we start at one desk and
yeah.
we whisper how garbled it gets?
Yeah.
You think God wants it to come out garbled? It gets garbled enough as it is to the flesh. Can imagine going through six or eight people how it's going to get garbled. Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. First question, true or false? God guides us primarily through the Holy Spirit witnessing to our born-again soul. Is this true or false? Well, that's false. I think you all got that one. It's because he witnesses to our born-again spirit, not our soul. Like Romans 8:16 says, the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are saved. Okay? So the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, not our soul. And that makes sense because the Holy Spirit is a spirit. He's in our spirit, and he's speaking spiritual things. Therefore, he will speak to our spirits, not our soul. Remember, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Next question, true or false? Any urge or desire in man that comes from his spirit can be trusted because all that's in there is of God. Is that true or false? Well, this is false because this question says in man. In man would be too general, for that would include all men. This is only true for believers where we can trust what comes from our spirit because our spirit has been born again and God's own Holy Spirit indwells our spirit. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are of God. Where? In your spirit. And so it's only for the born-again man that this would be true. But since I said in man and didn't specify it was for Christians, then it would be false, for that would include all men. This question would only be a true answer for this question if it said for believers or born-again believers. So, in general, this answer then would be false. You can't generally trust your spirit if you're not born again. Next question. These inner urges from our spirit are called the witness of our spirit or the inner witness. Is this true or false? Well, this is true. Again, Romans 8:16 says the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Where does he bear witness? With our spirit, believers' spirits. So the answer to this question then is true. These inner urges from our spirit are called the witness of our spirit in the Bible. Or another word for this is the inner witness. So this question answer is true. The inner witness is the prompting of the Holy Spirit residing within our own spirit. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. And this sounds a little nitpicky maybe, but the reason I brought this question is I wanted to point out something here, and I'll explain it here, right here now. The inner witness really is our own spirit speaking to us about what our spirit has heard from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the progression then is the Father or Jesus speaks to the Holy Spirit, who speaks to our own spirit. And then that inner witness then that comes up within us sometimes, that just that knowing that something is from God, is really our own spirit speaking to us. But he has taken it, gotten it from the Holy Spirit. But the way I said it here, it's false, because I said the inner witness is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking about to us. It's really our own spirit witnessing to us things he's heard from the Holy Spirit. And that's why this is false. When our Father and Jesus has instruction or information for us, they send it to the Holy Spirit first. Then the Holy Spirit informs our spirit. Well, this was just what I was talking about, and this is true. And let me just go back and read this. It's found in John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, and I think it will become clear. Listen to the process here. John 16, 13. Jesus is speaking. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Okay, so he doesn't speak of himself, he speaks of what he hears. Where does he hear it? Let's go on and read. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, Jesus is speaking, he's going to receive things from Jesus, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So we can see here that Jesus is speaking, and he said the Holy Spirit will take something of his. Or, in verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine, therefore it could come from the Father through Jesus as well. And then he will take that, the Holy Spirit will, and reveal it to your spirit, and your spirit will reveal it to your mind. See, it has to eventually come from your spirit to the cognizant part of you so that you can act on it. And so then that is the process. So the answer to this question is true. Urges and desires that come from the world, our flesh, or our mind, should not be trusted as guidance from God unless they confirm what we already have in our spirit from the Holy Spirit. Kind of a long question, but the answer is true. Urges and desires that come from the world, our flesh, or our mind, should not be trusted as guidance from God unless they confirm what we already have in our own spirit from the Holy Spirit. Remember, folks, Satan is the god of this world, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. So be careful. You know, he works in this world. He works through the world, he works through our flesh, and he'll work through our mind if he can. Our spirit is really the only place that's safe for the born-again Christian, because all things there are of God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. So the safe way to hear from God is through our spirits, and that's why God works through our spirits, because the Holy Spirit indwells our spirits, and everything there is of God, and so he works through our spirits. But be careful of leadings that you feel come from the world or your flesh or your mind, because that's out in the world where Satan operates. Now, it may be something from God. I mean, there might be somebody that would come and tell you something that's from God, but be sure it confirms something in your own spirit. If it doesn't, then don't believe it. That's the best thing. You really should trust your spirit first. If someone says, I got a word from God from you, and it involves some big change in your life and something, don't go with that unless you have it in your own spirit. Next question. Satan is the father of blank. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of blank, and I want scriptures. Satan is the father of what? Lies, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Okay, and here's our scriptures. If you read John 8:44, and I'll turn to it right now, John 8:44, Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were confronting him, "You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Now he's speaking about Satan, of course. "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Okay? And so Satan is the father of lies, the devil. okay, is the father of lies, that Jesus is speaking here. You cannot believe anything he says. And their scripture for that is John 8:44. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Now, if you just turn to John chapter 15 and look at verse 26, you'll see that Jesus is still speaking here, and he said, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. There's a real contrast here between Satan, who's a spirit as well. He is the father of lies, but the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. What a contrast here. And a couple more scriptures you can look up on your own if you want to, that says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, are John 16:12 and 1 John 4:6. So the scriptures you'd put in there are John 8:44 for the father of lies, and John 15:26 or 16:12 or 1 John 4:6 for the Spirit of truth. Next question. The Holy Spirit mainly speaks to us in our spirit about himself. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. The first part is true, where it says the Holy Spirit mainly speaks to us in our spirit. That's true. But it's false because the last part is false. And if one part of the question is false, the whole question is false. The second part says that he will speak about himself, and that is false. It won't be about the Holy Spirit. He will speak about what he hears from the Father or Jesus for you. So he doesn't speak about himself. That's what the Bible tells us. He won't speak about himself, but he will speak about what the Father or Jesus tells him to speak to your spirit. And our scripture for that is John 16:13, where it says, he will guide you on into all truth, speaking about the Holy Spirit, for he shall not speak of himself. So the Holy Spirit doesn't speak about himself. So the answer to this question is false. Next question, true or false? Our senses will pick up from the Holy Spirit what God wants us to know. Is this true or false? Well, this is false, folks. I mean, it's not our senses that pick it up. It's our spirit that picks us up. And if you want a scripture for that, you can just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And I'll just read it quickly here. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, that would be your senses, nor ear heard, there's your senses, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So it's not your senses that are going to reveal these things to you, okay? That's what I wanted to point out here. So the answer to this question is false. Eye can't see it, ears can't hear it. It's not our senses that pick up from the Holy Spirit, it's our spirits. Next question, true or false? We really don't know what God has planned for us because, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. This is true what 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but if you keep on reading, it says in verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So what I'm pointing out here is when it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. He's talking about natural man, unregenerate man, non-born again man. But then he says in verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us, Christians, he's talking about, by his Spirit. So in the first verse, verse 9, he's talking about non-believers. And they certainly aren't going to know. They're not going to know things from the Holy Spirit because their spirit's not born again. But unto us, we will know because it says in verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So this is false. It's true for man, but if we keep reading, we find out for us Christians, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Next question, true or false? Our spirit knows some things about us our minds don't know. Is this true or false? This is true, folks. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, for what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So our spirit, our born-again spirits, know some things about us our minds don't even know. And one reason for this is our minds must be renewed, folks. When we get born again, our mind is unrenewed. And Romans 12:2 says that we must get our mind renewed. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's the way you get your mind out of the world and more into God's kingdom. Again, it says, Romans 12:2, remember, says, "Be not conformed to the things of the world." Well, how do we do that? "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The spirit man is of God. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, "Since it has been recreated, and the Holy Spirit now lives there." Next question. Where does the Holy Spirit live on earth? Then I want you to fill in the blank. Well, where does he live? He lives in the heart of the believer. Remember Romans 8:9 through 11 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, this body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that dwells, raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." So three or four times in these three verses, it talks about the Holy Spirit dwelling in the heart of believers. And another second witness would be 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So once again, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, indwells your spirit. So where does the Holy Spirit live on earth? In the heart of believers. Next question. Name one of the reasons that believers have received the Holy Spirit. And for a hint, I give you 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. So fill in the blank. You should be able to read this and get it on your own. But I'll give you the answer. I'll read verse 12 to you. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Why did he send that Holy Spirit? And why did we receive that Spirit which is of God? It tells us right here in the next phrase, "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." That we might know the things that are for us from God. So that's why he's there, folks. So fill in the blank. Read that verse and fill it in. Next question. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, believers have the mind of Christ. In what way is this true? I want you to fill in the blank. Oh, you're going to have to read this scripture. And it says here, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Okay, we have the mind of Christ. In what way is this true? Well, it's true, folks, through the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our spirits and revealing to us the mind of God for us. That's how it works. I'll say that one more time. We have the mind of Christ through the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our spirits and revealing to us the mind of God for us. That's the way that we have the mind of Christ. Next question. When God wants to speak to us, he contacts the Holy Spirit, who then contacts our soul. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. I think we had a question like this earlier on, but we're just kind of repeating it a little bit, so I want you to know this. It's false. He contacts our spirits, folks, not our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, remember. That's our soul. But he contacts our spirit. And I've quoted these scriptures, so I'm not going to read this one again. But Romans 8:14 through 16 tells us that he contacts our spirits. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." Now, what does that mean? It simply means that when God wants to speak to us, he lights up our spirit. That's where this light comes, and that's what it means by candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's the part of man that the Spirit lights up when he wants to speak to us about what God is telling him to tell us. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a spirit who speaks spiritual things. Therefore, he will contact your spirit. Not through your mind, not through your emotions, not through your will, but through your spirit. And not through your body either. Some people think, well, God was really present in that service because I had goosebumps. Well, that's nice if you get a good feeling, I guess, but that's not necessarily for the Holy Spirit. I've been in a lot of services where a lot of people were getting goosebumps and there wasn't anything from the Holy Spirit anywhere near that building. So anyway, that's another subject. Let's go on to the next question. True or false? The primary way the Holy Spirit speaks to the Christian spirit is by the inner witness. Is this true or false? This is true. That is the primary way the Holy Spirit speaks to the Christian spirit. It's by that inner witness that we've talked about here. The inner witness is the voice of your blank. Blank is the voice of your soul, and blank are the voice of your body. What goes in these blanks? Well, here is an interesting few facts, and it'd be good for everybody to learn this, and I'll just tell you what the answer is here. The inner witness is the voice of your spirit. Reason is the voice of your soul or your mind. And feelings are the voice of your body. This is the way the various parts that make up a human being speak. The inner witness is the voice of our spirit. Reason is the voice of your soul or your mind. And feelings are the voice of your body. Next question. When I'm in a service and hear something the preacher says and it makes me happy or gives me goosebumps, this is God telling me it's from him. Is this true or false? Well, this is false generally, folks. Happiness is of the soul, not of the spirit. Now, joy is of the spirit, but happiness is based on circumstances in your life, and that's of the soul. And goosebumps, as we know, are of the body. And neither is to be trusted as a sole, reliable source of something that's from God. Only your spirit should be completely trusted, and only then if you're born again. So the answer to this question then is false. And our last question, natural man's senses and spirit are incapable of receiving revelation from God. Is this true or false? And this is true, folks. Unless you're born again, and a natural man is our definition of an unborn again man. It just means a regular man that's not born again. Unless you're born again, you shall not be able to see, Jesus said, the kingdom of God, which is in your spirits. Okay? And the scriptures for this are John 3:3, which Jesus said, unless you be born again, you shall not see or see into the kingdom of God, which is in your spirits. And Luke 17:21 tells us that the kingdom of God is within us. That means within our spirits. So we put those two together, and we can see that unless you're born again, you shall not be able to see into the kingdom of God, which is in your spirits, okay? It's John 3:3 and Luke 17:21. Remember, the kingdom of God on the earth is where? It's in the hearts of believers, okay? And so natural man's senses and spirit are incapable of receiving revelation from God because they do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling their spirits. And that's why this question is true. And as I said, unless you're born again, you will not be able to see the kingdom of God, Jesus said, which is in our spirits. And the kingdom of God is in our spirits, and so we won't be able to see in there unless we're born again. And this then completes our homework for this lesson.